Jones.
It's you.
Good morning, Mary. Mary J. Hi, Terry. Morning, Vernon Dell.
Yes, good morning.
Hi, Marcia.
Good morning.
Hi, Bonnie.
Good morning, Robert.
So good to be together.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Tom, my place.
Anna.
Hi, Carol.
None. But we'll see you next time.
Oh, Lisa.
Carol, thank you for sending that wonderful thing. Lisa, looking beautiful.
Barbara
and Patrick.
And Corey, also looking beautiful. Barbara's back. Yay, Julie.
Barbara, hi, good to see you.
Gary,
Marcia.
Lawrence.
Susie and Robert. Julie Abril. Lisa.
And Miller. Yay. Tom Gaffner.
Oh, hi, Julie.
Lisa.
Good to see you. Mrs.
Robert. Allison. Dennis.
Matt. Hi, Pedro.
Marilyn.
Tree
Fries. Oh, look at that happy face. Connecting to audio. Down and Sill.
Regal.
Kathleen, Robert, Bowden,
upper right hand corner that says gallery.
Yep, we already did that.
Side by side gallery. Hi, Donna and Pam.
Side by side. Okay.
Hi, Judith.
Hello, good morning.
Just your cover.
Good morning.
Hi, Kathy. Kathy D.
Bon, Bonnie Miller.
Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Mary.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Mary Jackson. Don and Jim, say hi.
Good morning, Don and Jim.
Good morning. Good morning, Marcia.
Good morning.
Hey, it's crazy.
Good morning, Lawrence. You playing today, Lawrence?
It's not us, it's
yes.
Oh, wait till you hear what he plays. Awesome.
Can't wait.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Dennis.
Morning, Anna. Morning, Janet.
Yes.
Lori Meininger. Hi.
Hi, Lori.
There's Marilyn at the top of the
bed. Not there.
Sarah Sauter, is it warm down there? No.
Hi, Judith Reynolds.
Freezing up here.
I just see your name.
Thanks for your time.
Not your face.
Great.
Carolyn Steven. Oh.
We're going to start here.
What does it say?
Carolyn. Hello, John Spobe.
Hey.
Where's your beautiful wife? There she is. Hi, Elaine.
John and Lenny.
Good morning, Bill and Elizabeth. Morning, Popsicle and Yaya.
Okay. Just another moment.
Wait, Anna. Joanne is on.
Is that
hi, now? Neighbors.
Smile, Tom, smile.
Hi, Juliet Abril.
No other view options.
Good morning, everyone. Our call to worship words this morning are from Marilyn Sewell in Breaking Free, Women of Spirit at Midlife and Beyond.
We look at ourselves as we are and life as it is, and we come to some reconciliation of the two. As we age, our aliveness shines forth from the depths of spirit. If we dare to go there, maturity can bring a sweet kind of joy as we come to know how deeply connected we are with all that is, as we understand and accept how much we have to give.
And in honor of Black History Month, here's these words of wisdom from Black leader Vernon Jordan, a civil rights activist, attorney, business executive, and political advisor. You are where you are today because you stand on somebody's shoulders. And wherever you're heading, you cannot get there by yourself. If you stand on the shoulders of others, you have a reciprocal responsibility to live your life so that others may stand on your shoulders. It's the quid pro quo of life. We exist temporarily through what we take, but we live forever through what we give. Let us join together in worship, recognizing the beauty of life's later stages when we often experience more deeply the blessings of sharing our life and our gifts with one another. We acknowledge that the land we gather on as a congregation, where we live, work, and play, was not freely given to us. We are gathered on the ancestral land of the Nutu or Ute, Apache, the Pueblos, Hopi, Zuni, and Diné Nation. This was also a site of trade, gathering, and healing for other Native tribes. We recognize the Indigenous peoples as original stewards of this land. And as these words are spoken and heard, the ties nations have to their ancestral homelands are renewed and reaffirmed. We acknowledge that our use of and benefit from this land came at a dire cost to Native nations and peoples whose land we now inhabit. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango and our online worship service. I'm Bonnie Miller, a member of UUFD and today's volunteer host for the Sunday service. Reverend Margaret Weiss says, "The church is not a place, it is a people. The church is the gathering together of all the people and experiences and fear and love and hope in our resilient hearts, gathering however we can to say to the world, welcome, come in, lay down your heartache and pick up hope and love. For the church is us, each and every one of us, together, a beacon of hope to this world that so sorely needs it. We are here for each other, even in this virtual space, with arms open to all who care to unite with us in beloved community. You are welcome in a Unitarian Universalist church, no matter your racial identity, class, sexual orientation, gender identity, or theology. We are people of all ages, people of many backgrounds and beliefs. But together, we work for more justice and love in our own lives and in the world. Joining me in leading today's worship service are Anna Royer as worship associate, James Mirabal, assisted by Dennis McClure, providing tech support. Shannon Beaver and Cheryl Guy are greeters. Sarah Sada, our interim director of faith formation. Choir director Elizabeth Crawford and contemporary pianist Lawrence Nass. And as a part of our pledge campaign, we will hear from member Tim Miller about why he chooses to give. And we are pleased to welcome participants from the recent faith formation class, Hindsight, Humor, and Hope, Sherrod Bale, Lori Meininger, Shannon Beaver, and Nancy Burpee. They'll be leading different parts of our service today. If you are not currently a member of UUFD, welcome to our worship service. We're really glad that you found us and that you're joining us today. And if you're looking for a spiritual home, if you've been thinking about membership, you can type a message in the chat line to Shannon Beaver. She's our Community Connections Coordinator. And if you sign our digital guest book, which you'll also see in the chat line, we'll put you on our list to receive our weekly announcements and our monthly newsletter. And now let's light our chalice, the symbol of our faith.
As we light our chalice and speak the words of affirmation this morning, we ask that everyone remain muted. I will speak the words and lead, and we hope you will speak aloud at home as well, even though you're muted, so that we may focus together on our affirmation in this way. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge in freedom, to serve human need. For these high purposes do we unite in worship.
Good morning. My name is Tim Miller. I joined UUFD when I moved here in 2013. I've been chair of the finance committee since 2015. I sing in the choir, take a turn shoveling the sidewalks, participate in adult ed programming, and serve from time to time as worship associate. This church is important to me. Many of my friends are right here in worship. I get a lot out of being a member, and Carolyn and I try to give back as best we can. I want to see UUFD have another successful pledge campaign and thrive well into the future. As part of the UUFD Summer Series in 2017, I gave a talk on generosity as a spiritual practice. I suggested that generosity is personal, that its spark and its meaning come from within, like other forms of spiritual work, such as meditation, worship, and prayer. During that same talk, I quoted a Nigerian folk saying, "It is the heart that does the giving. The fingers only let go." When we pool our resources in a pledge drive, these individual actions create collective communal benefit. Our church relies on pledges to pay about 90% of its annual operating expenses. Other revenue categories like interest income and Sunday collection chip in, but pledges run the show. You might be surprised to learn that expenses are not much lower even when our staff works remotely and we worship via Zoom. So as we begin to budget for the church year beginning July 1, we still aren't certain when we'll be able to gather in person, but it's not too early to start planning for that wonderful day. Carolyn and I will be raising our pledge again this year. It would really help if together we can have total pledges rise by 5 to 7% versus this year. Let's give Maya Angelou the last word. I've learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. So this is the time when we get to open the mic and everybody say a word of greeting and peace to our gathered neighbors.
Peace.
Good morning, all, and thank you for sharing with each other. So, Unitarian Universalist James Luther Adams said, "Church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human." A particular feature of being human is the capacity to not only personally experience joy and sorrow, but to offer compassion, care, and understanding to our fellow human beings in the midst of their pain or joy. Our ritual each Sunday of sharing joys and sorrows allows us to practice vulnerability and empathy and to strengthen our connection. If you have a joy or a sorrow to share today, you can ask for a candle to be lit by typing your name in the chat box to everybody to let us know you have something to share. Anna will call on you, then you need to unmute yourself and share your joy and sorrow, and then mute yourself again. We'd ask that everybody hold off on other chats during this time so it's easier for Anna to see who wants to speak. We'd also encourage you to use the speaker view on your device so you can easily see who's sharing. On my computer, that's three little dots at the top where I can, or a little cluster of dots at the top where I can switch between gallery and speaker. We'd also encourage you to leave it on speaker view for the rest of the service as we're going to have multiple speakers. I'd like to start by lighting one candle to recognize the 2.5 million lives lost to COVID this year, over 500,000 of them in the US, and also to recognize the hope we have that with vaccinations and good social behaviors, that we will be seeing the end of the light of this tunnel. We light this candle.
It looks like the first candle is Anna P., if you'd like to speak.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Some of you may know that I'm the board chair for Shanta Foundation, where we work with the poorest of the poor in Myanmar for the last 15 years. And this morning we learned that 18 people had been killed by the military government and about 750 people have been detained, which, you know, might lead to something worse than death in some ways. So I would just ask for lots of prayers for the people of Myanmar right now. It's a very, very difficult time for them to see democracy slipping out of their fingers after so many years of trying to advance it. So thank you.
And so we light this candle.
And Marilyn G., you're up next.
Yeah, I'd like to light a candle of joy for Ron and me. We were able to get our second vaccine through the Upper Pine Fire Protection District on Friday. And we are very grateful for that. And we also enjoyed another visit from my sister Bonnie this last week. Thank you.
And we light this candle.
Peter T., you are up next.
Thank you very much. My joy is that the Sykes family has kept me well supplied with oranges over the last couple of months, and I'm so grateful. My concern is that I continue to have fevers that just pop in and out all the time with a lack of energy, and I've been reading a bunch of books about slavery, and I'm depressed, and that is all.
We light this candle, Peter.
And Suzanne Arms, you're next.
I think some of you know that Bob and I drove all the way up to Denver for him to have a couple of tests and exams on his esophagus, and also his salivary gland. And it looks like the precancerous area of his esophagus has self-healed after the ablations they did. They still haven't given us the results of his biopsy. And I got to see my daughter, which is, you know, third time in about 4 years. So it was really lovely. And my concern is that I have been exceedingly dizzy for the last 3 weeks and loss of appetite and depressed. And I had an MRI because I immediately thought I had brain cancer, and that's all clear. So my trust is that it's going to be self-limiting, whatever it is, but I'd like your prayers. Thank you.
And we light this candle.
And Judith S.
Hi. I have a concern, and I don't know how to deal with this. Other than taking care of my family, what we're doing is to get our vaccines. My age group is coming up this week, so I cannot wait to get it, and my ex is going to get it, and I'm just really excited about it. But my concern is that my community here is really not taking COVID that seriously. And so there's a mixture of people that just don't, you know, they wear the mask because they have to wear a mask, but they're dismissing it. Almost 50% of the people I talk to are not getting the vaccine. And, you know, as a retired RN, that's just gonna really mess our community, herd immunity, and really mess it up for us here. And so I'm really concerned because we're gonna have all these tourists come in pretty soon too, on top of it. And, you know, these other strains that are going on, it's just very concerning to me that we're not taking this serious enough yet here. In so many regards, there are people, but there's so many that aren't. So I just ask for maybe some prayers and help, you know, thoughts of trying to listen to the science behind it, or I don't know what will make it happen, but, and that's all I need to say, because I can go on forever.
And I believe that Susie and Robert will be last, if I've missed you, or if you wanna type into the chat box real quick. Susie and Robert.
So our concern is that my doggy Mandy here, she's 13 years old, has found cancer, so her days are numbered. She's been a therapy dog. On Thursday, she had her last visit with her, the emotional disorder kids that she visits. And so it was kind of a sad day, but anyway, just, you know, happy that we have a little bit more time with her, but not much. So
we like this candle for this. Thank you, Susie.
And we have more candles. Steve F.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to light a candle of joy for the community that we're a part of when we have, like we've heard, different issues as far as feeling a little sad or depressed or needing a little support for different things. It's so nice to be able to have a community that we have where we can talk to each other about it and just be in community and worship. So joy for that.
We light this candle.
And Bill W.
A candle of joy for the availability of KN95 masks. They're so much better than the other things that you've been wearing. They work good. Their prices are coming down. Please get these. Don't just wear a piece of cotton cloth or something. Thank you.
We light this candle.
And now I believe that Sophia and Mariana will be last. Again, if I've missed anyone, please type into the chat. Sophia and Mariana.
I would like to share a joy because the boys, my dad and my brother went away on a little ski trip and they're staying at the cabins. And we have girls' weekend and it's been really fun.
And we light this candle. We hold each person who has spoken today and that which they've named in our hearts, as well as those things which may be felt deeply but are held in silence.
Following our middle age years, the next life stage deserves a respectful label, like elderhood instead of old people. Elderhood years present a gift of time when a person can grow spiritually as they acknowledge and connect with their deeper self. These years allow us to reflect on past experiences with understanding and earned wisdom. When we meditate, we connect with our inner self. So I invite you now to join me in a guided meditation. And if you're not comfortable doing a guided meditation, I invite you to turn down the volume on your device during the meditation so you can't hear it, and then you can turn it back on when we're done. So begin by sitting comfortably in your chair with both feet on the floor and uncrossed. Your eyes can be open or closed. Breathe, simply breathe, in and out, in and out. Notice the movement of the air as you breathe. Breathe in enough oxygen to feel movement in your body. And allow your belly and then your chest to expand. Exhale. Let go of everything that does not seem vital to your life at this moment. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Allow each inhale to be deeper, every exhale to fully release the breath. Feel energy move and shift in your body as your cells oxygenate. Continue with this breathing. At the same time, waken your senses and be present to yourself and your surroundings. Notice what attracts your attention and stay with that for a moment and then let it go. Just let it go. As you continue with the relaxed breathing, image yourself that you are moving along on a pathway to one of your favorite outdoor places with its awe-inspiring view, which we have a lot of. Stop and take in what is around you. Notice that sitting on a bench is a young person. The person turns out to be you, the you of many years ago. Say hello and sit down next to your younger self. It's good to be there together. You, the older and wiser person, tell them that you remember a difficult time they endured. Acknowledge the courage they had at that time. Realize that your younger self did as well as possible at the time for someone their age. Give them a warm, reassuring hug and let them know that things will be all right. Stay with them a moment, just a moment longer, while you experience the warmth of being with your younger self. Tell them you were always there for them and will reconnect. Then turn and head back along the pathway And when you are ready, come back into this place in time.
Old in a flower sack, cape tied all around his neck. He climbed up on the garage. He's figuring what the heck. He screwed up his courage up so tight that the whole thing come unwound. He got a running start, and bless his heart, he headed for the ground. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cape. He's all grown up with a flower sack cape tied all around his dreams. And he's full of piss and vinegar. He's busting at the seams. So he licked his finger and he checked the wind. He said it's gonna be do or die. He wasn't scared of nothing, folks. He was pretty sure he could fly. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cape. He's old and gray with a sour cape tied all around his head. He's still jumping off the garage and will be till he's dead. All these years the people said he's acting like a kid. He did not know he could not fly, so he did. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a leap of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath and always trust your cape. Well, he's one of those who knows that life is just a of faith. Spread your arms and hold your breath. Always trust your cape. Spread your arms and hold your breath. And always trust your cape.
Thank you, Lawrence. Kids, have you ever met a person who is 101 years old? I haven't either. Let's do that.
Did you have forks or knives in the old days?
Forks and knives? Yeah. Oh, sure. And spoons. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Micah.
Hi.
I'm Alice.
Nice to meet you, Alice.
Alice,
sorry.
What is your name?
Clara.
Clara, I'm very happy to meet you.
What are we here to talk about?
Well, I think It might be how old I am.
How old are you?
I'm in my 101st year. 101.
101?
Right. Did you ever know anybody else that old?
No.
I don't even know anybody else that old.
Where are you from?
Well, originally I was born in Philadelphia, way, way over on the East Coast.
I was born in New York City.
Oh, you were? So you were born in the East too?
Yeah.
How was it like back then?
We didn't have radio. We didn't have television. No telephones when I was a little girl. There were not any trucks. They had wagons and horses pulled them.
Wow, that must have been a long time ago.
It was a long, long time ago.
Back then, did you see any wars?
I did, and I was in the war. I was in the Second World War. We worked on decoding and encoding machines, very secret work. The officers had guns, and they said if you told any of the secrets, they would shoot you dead. But nobody got shot.
Good then.
Yeah.
What would you do for fun?
Oh, when I was a little girl? I had dolls and blocks, but I really liked boys' things. I liked marbles and tops, and I thought boys were much luckier than girls. We had to wear skirts and stockings, even in the coldest weather. They didn't have slacks or pants for girls.
Girls couldn't wear pants?
That's true.
That is not fair.
No.
What is your job?
Oh, my job was teaching in a college, but I retired a long time ago. I taught biology, and if you look at my shirt, you'll see some of the things I taught about. Could you possibly know what this one is?
Oh, that's a spider.
Well, wonderful.
What's your favorite insect?
Ants. I did research on ants. But you know what an ant looks like, don't you?
Yeah, it's like this tiny.
Mm-hmm.
They can carry a big thing like a banana. Like three of them can, even though they're this tiny.
You're very good, and you're only 6 years old.
What do you like to do for fun?
Well, right now I'm watching the Olympics. And I write books, I do puzzles, I enjoy email, I write to a lot of friends. I even play Scrabble. Do you know how to play Scrabble?
Mm.
No?
No.
You should ask somebody to play Scrabble. It's lots of fun. Also, I try to get exercise every day.
Every day?
Yep.
Good.
Some old people aren't very well anymore.
Yeah.
Some of them can't remember things. Some of them are really lame and they have to have somebody help them. But I can do everything myself.
That's good.
And that's good.
And that means you're really old, but you're really good at it.
Yeah, and I enjoy life.
What is the hardest part about getting old?
You miss people. And especially when you live over 100 years, most of the people I ever knew in my family are already dead. But that happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. A person in my family died.
And did you know the person?
Yeah, it's my great-grandfather. We still have a picture of him up on our mantle to remind us of when I was playing with him.
That's wonderful.
Are you afraid of dying?
No, I'm not afraid of dying. I feel very healthy and happy. My doctor said, maybe you'll just die in your sleep. So I'm not afraid, because I have a good life.
What's the secret to living a long life?
Being happy, working hard, getting exercise, doing things for yourself, not expecting other people to do everything for you. And all of those things make you live a long time.
Nice to meet you.
It's wonderful to meet you. Have a great life. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice to meet you.
Great. Now, kids, join us now in our faith formation classes by clicking on the link right down there in your chat. Thanks so much. See you there.
Good morning, everyone. You know, it's a little hard to follow a centenarian and some children, but weren't they wonderful? This morning, Shannon, Sherrod, and I are going to share the theme Hindsight, Humor, and Hope, based on a UUA course by Karen Thompson. When this adult faith formation series was offered last fall, I was intrigued by the tagline, "What, me an elder?" Don't get me wrong, I love being the age I am, but I'm only in my 60s and I hardly consider myself an elder. I do, however, consider myself an old soul. I've had gray hair more than half my life. My best friends are almost exclusively folks older than I who remind me that I'm just a kid. Most people assume I've already gotten my COVID vaccine, and my grandchildren make up outrageously huge numbers when they talk about my age, saying things like 22 is 967,335 years old. So what the heck, I thought, maybe I am an elder. But even if I'm not an elder, I'll get to learn from the real elders among us. In hindsight, it was a great decision. T.S. Eliot wrote, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and to know the place for the first time." I like this poem as an invitation to explore, and not just our outer world, but an invitation to explore within, to reflect in hindsight, to learn from life. Over the years, like we all have, I've had different opportunities to reflect on my life. And honestly, most of them have come very unexpectedly. Like when my son Jason, now a man in his 40s, was in the fifth grade. The kids were assigned to write their autobiographies, and his began with a photo of a bright orange two-person tent pitched on a sandy beach, under which he'd written, "I was conceived in an orange pup tent in Mexico." When I remember wondering at the time if I should be a proud parent or an embarrassed one, I went with proud. After all, I reflected, we were raising a 10-year-old with a sense of humor and a very clear understanding of at least one part of his origin story. An exercise in the class, though, offered a more intentional opportunity to look back in hindsight using a life timeline. Charting my life on that timeline, I reflected too on a time just 3 years later when that same boy was an eighth grader and was nearly killed by a drunk driver while we were living overseas. For the next 5 years, he healed and rebuilt his body and spirit while his father and I rebuilt our family life. On that timeline, I reflected on the lessons I'd learned from that young boy, suddenly thrust into being a young man. Lessons in resilience, humor, mercy, perseverance, grace, and forgiveness. And those years, as difficult as they were, profoundly changed our lives. 10 years later, while living in Cameroon, I had the honor to help families whose children were severely injured in a horrible school bus crash, using the heart lessons I'd learned from our family's experience. I could see how much more compassionate and humble I'd become through what at the time, years earlier, had seemed like a catastrophe. And a few years after that, I led Congolese and American friends and colleagues to safety during a coup and went toe-to-toe with a notorious warlord to bring him to international justice. In hindsight, I can see that being compelled to do those things was the direct result of being raised by a strong woman who'd risked everything she'd known to leave her alcoholic husband. She raised two children as a single mom when, at the time, that was scandalous. And she taught us to always follow our conscience and do the right thing. Seeing that through the 2020 lens of hindsight decades later changed my story about what it had been like to grow up as the divorcee's kids in a small town. Hindsight helped me see that witnessing my mom's courage prepared me for a life that has required courage time and again, and that it was a real gift that I couldn't appreciate as a child. I have a piece of art hanging in my home entitled New Age. It's a small drawing of a person and these words: willing to accept that she creates her own reality, except for some parts where she wonders what the hell she was thinking. It reminds me that the things that have occurred in my life are events from which to learn. None of the events in my life have been good or bad. They are simply events that have taken place. The drawing also reminds me that who I am today is the sum total of my life up to this very moment. Even those events in my life that, in hindsight, sometimes make me shake my head and wonder, what the heck could I have been thinking? It serves as a reminder to be gentle with myself and others about the decisions we make and the ways in which we live our lives. I plan to live many more years and fill out that life timeline, doing the best I can with even greater love, gratitude, and hopefully a lot more adventure. I also plan to take to heart a message that came to me recently during a vivid meditation where I heard these words: there's nothing worth regret. Absolutely nothing, ever. Same for fear, worry, and anger. Let them go, rise above, get down, and move on. Grateful for all my life experiences and with some thoughtful hindsight, I intend to continue to live my best life and embrace being an elder with joy, wisdom, humor, and hope. May it be so.
Thank you, Lori. I have to admit, I had a few reservations as I signed up for the Faith Formation class, Hindsight, Humor, and Hope, Who Me, an Elder, by Karen Thompson Peterson, that Sarah was offering to our fellowship. My reservations didn't hinge on Sarah's ability to lead the class. I knew she would be an excellent facilitator, but I was a little afraid I wouldn't fit in. I mean, I was only 55, and my AARP card still has the new card smell. Plus, I don't even get senior discounts at all the restaurants yet. But I knew I brought a unique perspective to this faith formation class, as I do have an elderly father I help care for from a distance. And I personally felt the sting of ageism when I ran away from home at age 50 and landed in Durango. Humor has always been a big part of my life, but now I consider it a survival skill for the aging process. I'd like to share a quote from one of my favorite authors, Irma Bombeck. There is a thin line that separates laughter and pain, comedy and tragedy, humor and hurt. I think that aging is remarkably similar to this quote. To navigate the road to becoming an elder, one needs a good sense of humor. And if you don't believe me, ask any senior citizen who has stood in front of a mirror naked. Being able to laugh at ourselves as well as the situation makes the journey more enjoyable. It was during a group exercise of hindsight, humor, and hope that I realized I have always gravitated toward comical people. This particular exercise asked us to think about our lives in decades and to list the most influential person or people in your life per decade. For much of my life, my parents were the most influential folks. I remember they both were and are such funny people. So many great memories, but one that sticks in my mind is when they would host Couples Bridge Club and the near constant laughter for hours that followed. Hearing that laughter made me happy. Laughing makes us happy. For many of the situations that I have had to deal with as my father aged, well, they've been anything but funny. How do we find humor in losing someone so dear to us? How do we find humor in losing our emotional rock and watching them become so frail and forgetful? We don't, of course, but we can accept the natural course of aging with a little help from humor. I have been amazed at how comfortable my father and I have become with discussing his bowel habits and incontinence, but here we are. When I visit him, one of our long-running jokes is to make sure we have a bounty of paper pants, as he likes to call them, in the glove box anytime we leave the house. Over the last few years, our conversations have gone from current events and sports to disposable underwear absorbency and stockpiling distilled water for the CPAP. My own personal reckoning with becoming an older person happened when I relocated to Colorado a few years ago. I hadn't applied for a job in many years. And when I started looking for employment here, I hadn't expected to be the oldest applicant at every interview, but I was. Suddenly, it was painfully obvious I was over 50. Finding a job proved intimidating, but I really wasn't prepared for trying to make new friends at that age. That's hard, too. 5 years later, I feel so grateful to have made such an amazing circle of friends, even though it didn't start out that way. I was surprised to find out that fitting in and being accepted was just as important at age 50 as it was when I was in a new classroom as an adolescent. During the 6 sessions of Hindsight, Humor, and Hope, I learned so much from our participants, and especially during those small group exercises. I found that listening to others gave me wonderful insight to this aging process by hearing their own personal experiences. In our society, we tend to associate vitality and energy with youth, but after this class, I'm convinced we should focus on our senior community for that vitality and energy. Experience gives elders a unique perspective and often the ability to find humor in demanding situations. Maturity gives us wisdom and confidence to know we can laugh at ourselves and not take things so seriously. In preparation for this presentation, I looked up the quote from the beginning by Irma Bombeck, because, as I said, she's one of my favorite authors, but also because she found humor in herself and in her own personal tragedies and situations. So often we become consumed by life and all that it entails. We forget to laugh. Irma has a way of reminding us that we should probably stop and look around from time to time, be grateful for what we have, enjoy the moment. I'd like to leave you with this quote from her. Seize the moment. Remember all those women on the Titanic who waved off the dessert cart.
Thanks, Shannon. So my perception of getting older has been shaped also by my experience of taking care of both of my parents as they seriously aged, got sick, and died over the course about 10 years. And being the only daughter and a healthcare provider, it fell naturally on my shoulders. Prior to that time, they were extremely self-sufficient and did well, with a desire to stay in their own home until carried out feet first. I said I would do my best. My dad was 94, my mom was 96 when they passed. They lived outside of Washington, D.C., and I lived in Colorado, where I had a career. But during those 10 years, I flew back and forth, constantly managing every aspect of their lives, in person or over the phone. I was acutely aware of every change in, of course, their toileting, medications, complications with medications, maintaining nutrition, managing diabetes, falls, skin care, mild dementia with personality changes, constant doctor's appointments, electrical outages that affected oxygen delivery, long-term insurance contracts with home health care, and a revolving door of home health care providers. The norm. Knowing what is potentially coming down the pike, if given a choice, I mean, who would happily want to embrace elderhood? My parents were well taken care of, and as Atul Gawande noted in his book, Being Mortal, the best insurance for not dying in a nursing home is having a daughter. Well, I don't have a daughter and feel often extremely anxious, and I dread getting older and no longer being self-sufficient. So I took this workshop. The purpose, through a series of exercises over 6 weeks, was to explore the positives of being an elder, and to acknowledge the wisdom that comes from our experiences, and to be more expansive in our thinking about the future. The ultimate goal was to foster a sense of hope about aging. At the beginning of the 6 weeks workshop, I felt a bit cynical about becoming, happy about this topic. Sometimes I visualize myself being dragged into old age by time and just kicking and screaming. However, I was motivated to do the course, connect with other UUs, and I was curious about their personal perspectives on aging. Interestingly, by the end of the 6 weeks, I actually felt a joy about aging that came from delving into deeper feelings rather than worrying and focusing on the physical body and a preconceived future. By reflecting on experience in a visceral way, a sense of new meaning and intention was uncovered, something that's hard to do on one's own. And my favorite exercise in the course was creating a mandala of our personal journeys. I can't draw and I color like a five-year-old, but I enjoyed the simple experience of self-expression with messy pastels and colored pencils. And in the center of my mandala, I drew dense pine trees surrounded by a circle of sun. Then I filled each contiguous outer circle with a color that reflected the changes of the season, orange and then red, gold, brown, and the final outer circle was in an expansive blue sky. Exploring wilderness and backpacking has been one of my core pleasures in life, but with aging, I've become physically limited in doing so. Yet, drawing the mandala brought out the immense joy that is still there. I could feel it radiate out from my core, stimulating a sensation of new connections, new possibilities, and a renewed sense of hope of where I am in my life, with less time ahead, but with many new experiences to come.
What was that? Samantha?
don't even know anyone named Samantha. This will all make sense when I am older. Someday I will see that this makes sense. One day when I'm old and wise, I'll think back and realize that these were all completely normal events. I'll have all the answers when I'm older, like why we're in this dark enchanted wood. I know in a couple years, these will seem like childish fears. And so I know this isn't bad, it's good. Growing up means adapting, puzzling at the world at your place. When I'm more mature, I'll feel totally secure being watched by something with a creepy, creepy face. And that will all make sense when I am older. So there's no need to be terrified or tense. I'll just dream about a time when I'm in my aged prime. 'Cause when you're older, absolutely everything makes sense. This is fine.
Thank you, Lawrence. During this time when we gather online for Sunday worship, there are three ways to make a contribution to our offering. You can always mail a check to the church office. You could go to our website, follow the instructions there to donate, or you could be newfangled and use texting to make your donation. Thank you, whichever method you choose. And as we give this morning, let's reflect on words from Elizabeth Gilbert. She says, in the end, maybe it's wiser to surrender before the miraculous scope of human generosity and to just keep saying thank you forever and sincerely for as long as we have voices. Thank you for your generosity. Your gifts are most gratefully received.
Woyaya is a Ghanaian word that can have many meanings. According to the song's composer, Ghanaian drummer Solomon Amafio, here it means we are going. The words support our Unitarian Universalist affirmation that every person at every age should be free to search out truth and meaning. Please join singers from our choir as they lead us in singing Woyaya.
We are going, heaven knows where we are going, but we go within, and we will get there. Heaven knows how we will get there, but we know we will. It will be hard, we know. We know we will. We are young.
As we prepare to close our service with extinguishing the chalice and the benediction, we remind you that we have social time afterwards in small breakout groups. It would really be a wonderful time to hear more people share stories of your experiences with aging and how you reflect on it today.
I would like to thank everyone who has participated in this service today. It has been an honor. And to Sarah, who brought us all together, I cannot tell you how much this has meant to all of us. Our benediction today is by Carolyn Joy Adams. Life is a continual process of letting go and moving forward. And letting go and moving forward. For there are times when our souls are set on fire and deeply cherished dreams must die. And we are forced once again to create new visions, to weave new tapestries from the fragments of the old. Yet these new visions, born from the fire of wisdom, at the deepest level of our soul, may well become far more powerful, more expansive than what once was. And we weave and mend, rearranging the pieces of our lives into patterns that reflect our newly won strength. Gained through struggle, we shall survive, go on, and ultimately thrive, not despite our immense challenges, but truly by living through and with them. May it be so. Blessed be. Amen. And we will extinguish our challenge.